Good evening, everybody. Good evening. If I could have your attention up here towards the front of the room before we get started, just a few rules of the chamber that are intended to make sure that we facilitate dialogue in the most open way, and that no matter what your point of view is at the issue of about the issue that we're discussing tonight or any day or night that we're in session, that everyone everyone's view isn't tolerated. It's more than that, that it's welcome. This is a chamber of dialogue. Tonight, the focus of your city council is on listening. We will be we have a lot of people signed up, so we will probably mostly listen tonight with very few follow-up questions. If we do, we might be following up because everyone signed in via email. We're going to call folks in groups of four. We have, usually it's three, those that are used to three, but tonight it's four. And Carla, our fantastic council clerk, will be calling the four that are to step forward and the four that are wait behind her. And that's to take into account we have some people in the second balcony, the second floor up there, and we want to give them time to come down. Now, when you come forward, there'll be 2 minutes each. The clock in front of you will count down the 2 minutes. Under local law, if you're here to represent an organization as their official spokesperson, if you're a lobbyist, then you need to declare that after you give us your first and last name. We do not want your address. We do not want your phone number, any of those things. We simply want your name, and if you're a lobbyist, say so, and if you're not, just don't say anything. There is no clapping. There is no hooting. There is no hollering. There is no burping. There is no noises to indicate in some subtle but obvious way that you agree or disagree with who is at the microphone. That goes for both members of this city council and also for folks that are testifying. That goes back to that whole part about everyone should feel comfortable to come to their city council and say whatever it is they have to say. We really do mean that. If you like something, feel free to give a thumbs up. If you don't like something, feel free to give a thumbs down, but please do that quietly. Have I forgotten anything, Carla?
I think we're good.
All right. So with that, it is Wednesday, August 31st, 2011. It is 6 p.m., and the city council will come to order. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Saltzman.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Adams.
Here. We have one item to consider tonight. It's time certain. Can you please read the title for council calendar item 928?
Create the Office of Equity, establish council intent, and approve initial work plan.
So I'm going to make just a very brief opening remarks and followed by Commissioner Fritz, and then we will turn it over. We have some invited panels. Two panels will be 3 minutes each because of they're either staff or have been core to the effort, and then we'll go to 2 minutes each. So in the worst economy since the Great Depression, this city council has taken on some of the toughest issues that this city has faced, not just during this Great Recession, but that have actually plagued this city for a long time. This is a great city full of big-hearted people, with good values, but that does not mean that it's a perfect city. It's a city that at its core strength is about always improving, always trying to make progress. And during this recession, this city council tackled the work of trying to strengthen our economy as job number one, going through a reorganization of city government, lowering fees where we could, passing the first economic development strategy in 16 years. With that, the city council supported the creation of education reform known as Cradle to Career. And even though we are in such difficult economic times, they passed an aggressive update to our climate action plan and followed that with what we are considering today. Today is very important. While we are successful in many ways in this city and still have more work to do in all of our areas of success in the issue of equity, we have arguably the most work to do to live up to our own values and to live up to our own potential. So tonight is the first hearing. There is no vote tonight. This is a non-emergency ordinance, the second reading of this ordinance, and likely vote, but we will see what happens, will be on the 21st, time certain, at 11 p.m. 8 p.m.
That's my time of day.
A.m.
Let's go for it.
What I liked most is that none of you really thought that was a big deal. We'll see you at 11 p.m. 11 a.m. on the 21st. We think that's important because of the number of people that showed up and the opportunity to digest that and work on that. What we have before you today is the starting point for discussion, and we seek to improve upon that. So we really are glad that you're here and are part of this discussion. Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, and thank you to each and every one of you who is here today. Thank you to everybody who has emailed and participated in this whole effort. It does my heart good to see each of you here today. And it is indeed a joyous occasion as we seek to make a difference in a different way. We know that we have not succeeded in Portland the way we need to succeed in making sure that everybody enjoys the riches of our city. And since my time on the council as a city commissioner, in charge of the Office of Human Relations, the Office of Neighborhood Involvement through review of contract approvals here at Council, my partnership with the Commission on Disability, Sidewalk Management Committee, mental health issues and public safety, and pretty much everything that comes to Council has some elements of equity. And yet we rarely talk about that except when we're talking about equity. But indeed, the Portland Plan has been talking about that for several years, and this project, this proposal tonight is a result of all the work that's gone in, building on the good work that's been done before. The mayor and I convened community members into what we called the Office of Equity Creation Committee. Many of them will be speaking first tonight, and they have been meeting every 2 weeks for several months to help the mayor and me refine this proposal to define what the Office of Equity is going to do to start with its relatively small budget, to make sure that that investment is an investment that makes a difference in the lives of Portlanders. Because of the input from the community and the creation committee over the last 2 weeks since we had the public review draft out, there have been several changes to the ordinance. And so I move that we introduce a substitute ordinance, which has a substitute for the ordinance, an amended work plan, Exhibit B, and a new Exhibit C, which attaches as a formal exhibit the action items from the Portland plan.
Second, it's been moved and seconded that this revised draft would serve as the basis of further comment tonight. Carla, can you please call the roll on the motion to substitute?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Most of these are, all of these are language improvement, which make it even stronger, and so there are more copies available. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Thank you to everyone, but especially thank you to Dora Perry in my office and Amalia Alaconda Morris, who has been helping within the city of Portland on this issue within my portfolio. I'm going to turn it over to Dora to start us off tonight.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners, and community members.
Carla.
My name is Dora Perry, Policy Advisor in Commissioner Fritz's office. Since the Mayor announced the concept of the Office of Equity in his State of the City address in February, Commissioner Fritz and her staff have been working with Mayor Adams and his staff to bring this ordinance before you today. This ordinance represents an important first action coming out of the Portland Plan and a critical step towards building a Portland community where everyone has access to opportunities necessary to satisfy essential needs, advance their well-being, and achieve their full potential. The process of creating the ordinance drew from a diverse group of Portlanders who lent their best ideas, their time, and expertise on equity. from academia, business, social change work to city system experts and community members. The best minds came forward to inform the creation of this office. What has been portrayed as the messy and confusing process was in fact a thoughtful process that captured the complexity of this issue and crafted what is before you today. Our community needs a systemic change and a well-coordinated effort, starting with our own city hubs that will allow Portlanders to become a place where your future is not limited by your race, ethnicity, disability, nationality, gender, sexual orientation, age, or other factors you can't change. Tonight is the first reading of this ordinance, an ordinance whose key purpose is to address the historical and current inequities that prevent this city from becoming a place where all community members are nurtured. We begin with a staff presentation, followed by six panels of invited testimony. Public comments will follow the formal presentations. So I will now turn over to the staff presentation, Amalia Alakan Morris and Dr. Lisa Bates, who are co-chairs of the Portland Plan Equity Technical Advisory Group. Amalia and Lisa.
Thank you, Dora. Mayor, commissioners, thank you so much for having us here tonight. I am going to do a PowerPoint. I am very low tech, so I am asking you from the get-go to bear with me as I go through this. And thank you to Karen for helping me out. So equity for the city of Portland, we're starting with the facts. So demographic studies show that Portland is becoming more racially and ethnically diverse. Today, communities of color comprise 26.3% of the people living in Multnomah County, and that number is growing much more quickly than that for white people. People of color and people with disabilities experience higher rates of poverty, unemployment, and shorter lifespan compared with other Portlanders. To drill down into the statistics a little bit more, so the median income for black-headed households is $30,000, as compared to $46,800 for white-headed households, and that comes from the state of Black Oregon. You'll be hearing a little more about these research projects and the reports they yielded a little bit later on. In terms of disparities for people with disabilities, 80% of people with intellectual or mental disability have been sexually assaulted. Persons with disabilities are twice as likely to be earning $15,000 or less annually, and the unemployment rate for persons with disabilities who live outside of institutions in Oregon is 74%. So the facts are that Portlanders have been talking about the need to address disparities for a long time, but it's been very difficult to make progress. Disparities for some communities, in fact, have gotten worse over time. What we've been doing hasn't worked, and we need a new approach. So why is equity a priority? Equity supports a more resilient city. There are studies that say that the more inequitable a city, the greater its disparities, the more vulnerable it is to economic downturn. As the economy globalizes, Portland needs to be well-positioned to attract talent and firms so that it reflects that global diversity. Inequity is a national problem, and it is an opportunity for us to be leaders and innovators, just as we've done in other areas. And equity puts action to Portland's community values. It's been the top thing through various surveys that the city has done and through Vision PDX. Was equity is a big concern for Portlanders, and it is the right thing to do. So I'll talk a little bit about the Portland Plan, and I'll pass it on to Lisa after that. The proposal for the Office of Equity is rooted in the Portland Plan, which is a 25-year strategic plan for the city, which establishes priorities for what to respond to over the next 25 years, creating jobs, advancing equity, improving educational outcomes, and supporting healthy, connected communities. The Equity Initiative defines equity as equity exists when everyone has access to opportunities necessary to satisfy their essential needs, advance their well-being, and achieve their full potential. Equity is both the means to healthy communities and the end that benefits us all. Why a bureau? Because we need a focused strategic approach To foster equity and reduce disparities, we need to build internal city capacity to be able to apply an equity lens to policy, budget, and programs. We have many current efforts in the city that are trying to address equity, but these efforts are taking place in isolation from each other, many times without adequate support or with an opportunity to share lessons learned. And for myself as a bureau, I know we have equity challenges and would benefit from having that kind of support internally to help us figure those out. So our lessons learned are that historically we've not been strategic in our approach, trying to treat the symptom as opposed to addressing the causes. Again, becoming increasingly multicultural in Portland, where currently 52% of people ages 0 to 18 are of color. Yet the environment has been called toxic for people of color who are significantly having poorer outcomes than whites. High unemployment rates, among other things, for people with disabilities. And the city can't do it alone. We need to leverage public-private partnerships. We need a strategy to align efforts and guide investment. And we need to partner with those who are affected to help us to shape the solutions. So now what? A 2006 report called Edging Towards Equity says reductions in center city poverty lead to income increases for all inner regions people. The conclusion is that doing good and doing well go hand in hand. Portland has a reputation for being progressive and innovative. That is not the experience for all Portlanders. And today, Portland City Council is in a position to consider making the promise of opportunity real for all Portlanders. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lisa Bates. I'm a resident of Humboldt neighborhood. I'm on the faculty of the Toulon School of Urban Studies and Planning at Portland State University. And as mentioned, I've been a member and currently serving as co-lead of the Technical Advisory Group on Equity for the Portland Plan. And I want to also make sure to acknowledge our other co-lead, Bob Glasscock, staff planner at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, who has been an absolute champion in helping us to formulate this strategy in a way that fits into the plan. I want to share a little bit more about the process and the overarching strategy on equity that's been developed through the TAG's work and how the Office of Equity fits into implementing this plan. The Technical Advisory Group, the TAG, is a collaboration between city staff from a range of bureaus and the community. And the community representatives are not only individuals who bring a grounded knowledge of the concerns, experiences, and needs of particular communities, but are a group of people with expertise in the policies and processes that can address those needs. So working together with city employees, we've been able to bring, I think, a really cogent analysis of the inequities, their underlying causes, research on existing and emerging best practices, real solutions, and combine that with the deep institutional knowledge of the city and its practices brought to us by our staff partners, all necessary to understanding how we can really affect change in our city. In short, we built capacity much as the Office of Equity intends to. Capacity to analyze, to strategize, and to prescribe. And I believe that we built a sense of mutual trust, that there is a will to do better and there is a commitment to learning how. And I have to share that both professionally and personally, I'm really proud to have been part of this work, and I'm really pleased to have gained new colleagues in this work from the city. This work has not been without its challenges, but it has been a sound process. We began with Amalia and Bob as a siloed action area, one of just a set of policy areas, asserting a prerogative to review other policy areas for equity-promoting activities. And honestly, we had some tough sessions with other TAG policy leads, not because they didn't care about equity, but because equity wasn't incorporated as a consistent lens in all policy areas, and everyone didn't have the knowledge and expertise to bring that lens to those actions, and equity became siloed outside of mainstream goals. It became clear through our research, as mentioned by Amalia, that this Equity on the Side program was really a strategic mistake, that we recognize that inequality holds our city and our region back from prosperity, from healthy connected neighborhoods, and from having educated and thriving youth. So we had to shift the metaphor for our standard operating procedures. We're not in a rising tide lifts all boats situation. We are all in one boat together, and we need everyone to get to where we're going. Once we made that strategic shift and began to drill down to the question of how do we do that, not just to say equity is a priority, but to actually find the smart practices for how to operationalize that into the activities of the city, to incorporate it into resource allocation decisions, into program design and evaluation, into service delivery, and within a context of truly inclusive public engagement and a partnership between community and city. That's a set of actions and activities that you see in the Portland plan. It's a focused set of actions to create an infrastructure for more equitable practices. And we view the establishment of the Office of Equity as a critical component of this overall strategy, serving a function of coordinating piecemeal work and developing and disseminating smart practices throughout city bureaus. There's real work to be done by this office, and as both a TAG member and a member of the Creation Committee, I can say that there is a significant constituency of Portlanders who are ready to see the city do this work, who are ready to partner with the city in doing this work, and who will remain present and active in holding the city accountable for doing this work.
Thank you.
My name is Karen Hansen. I'm a resident of Northeast Portland, a city employee, and a civil engineer licensed in the state of Oregon. I'm here tonight as a representative of the City of Portland Equity Council. The Equity Council started as a group of city employees that decided to meet during our lunch to discuss the ideas presented in the film series, Unnatural Causes, Is Inequality Making Us Sick? Specifically, the idea that racism impacts people's health and ultimately contributes to premature death. Also, the idea that public institutions, moving under the momentum of historically biased sets of interests, can perpetuate policies and practices that contribute to negative outcomes for minority communities. Even though none of us work in healthcare, through our discussion, our group began to understand that health is an outcome impacted by a complex combination of causes. And that complex combination of causes includes everything that the city does in the name of public health. It includes many of the things that the city does to grow the economy, and it includes many of the things that the city does to enforce the law. All of the disparities described in the reports that my colleagues will discuss tonight are created by a complex combination of causes. All of the services that the city works to provide citizens contribute significantly in positive and negative ways to these outcomes. The city doesn't have jurisdiction over health and education. We do transportation planning. The choice of where to build I-5 so many years ago had a huge impact on asthma rates in minority children. We do urban renewal and have seen the impact of gentrification on the political power of the Black community in Northeast Portland. The way we prioritize sewer projects impacts public health. The way we acquire property for parks and fund improvements impacts families, health, and community relationships. The city employees who make up the Equity Council are eager to support the work of the Office of Equity. For us, the time to formalize this work effort was yesterday. For us, equity work is about being the kind of public servants that we hoped we could be when we came to work for the city. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Our next panel is going to tell us some more about the documentation and research in the background. I have Mitch Purcell representing the Urban League of Portland, Ann Curry Stevens from the Coalition of Communities of Color, Jan Campbell from the Portland Commission on Disability, and Joanne Hardesty, formerly known as Bowman, from the Coalition for a Livable Future. And Mitch, while the others are starting coming up, if you'd like to get started, that would be great.
Sure. Good evening. My name is Mitch Purcell, and I'm the Director of Advocacy and Public Policy for the Urban League of Portland. You know, 30 years ago, when someone asked for an environmental impact statement, people said, well, what does that mean? What does that look like in practice? Today, Portland has successfully integrated environmental sustainability into the core of its policies and decision-making. We are asking that the same be done with equity. We need that kind of intentionality that reverses hundreds of years of practice that entrenches disadvantage. The Urban League published The State of Black Oregon in 2009, and it revealed what we already knew, that there were deep disparities in jobs, economic opportunity, housing, criminal justice and policing, and education. The coalition report that came out a year later confirmed those findings. I'm sure Anne will talk more about those. Portland prides itself in being progressive and sustainable. How can we call ourselves sustainable when 38% of black children live in households with incomes below the poverty level? When unemployment in communities of color is twice the rate of the general population, where children of color live in neighborhoods where air quality fails to meet EPA standards, resulting in 14% higher asthma rates, neighborhoods where there are few or no sidewalks, where there's poor lighting, where there's poor transit access, and families are fearful to send their kids out to play, exacerbating obesity levels and chronic disease. How can we be a sustainable city when 49% of black children don't graduate high school? Given that one out of every two children in Portland public schools are students of color, this level of disparity is unsustainable, not only for our communities, but for Portland as a whole. So we need an equity strategy for the city and a means to systematically implement it, an office that will develop expertise, structures, and tools that will result in measurable outcomes and reduce disparities. The office that can be done that can build on the good work that has been done. There are people in this room that are working on these issues in the city. We know that. And we feel that this office can build on those efforts, develop best practice, and save the city money by not having to reinvent the wheel each time a bureau develops an equity plan. Until now, equity work in the city has been piecemeal, sporadic, and without consistent leadership. And we have seen no significant change from these efforts. Unemployment, housing, stability, neighborhood safety, gang violence have all gotten worse. Our communities want to see a change. We're demanding a change. It's been a long time coming. 2 seconds. Portland has spent millions on bicycle infrastructure for good reasons, but the benefits have not been universal. We are asking yet again for so little, just for the city to be equipped to do its job so that it benefits all Portlanders. To refuse, send a message to our communities that our communities are not important and the city is happy with the status quo. It's not a message that I want my kids to hear.
Thank you very much. No. For those of you that arrived late, there is no clapping, no hooting, no hollering, no belching. None of that, because this is a chamber for all views to be heard. And when only one view gets claps, then it makes others sort of feel a little more intimidated. So for those of you that arrived late, those are the rules of the chamber. If you like something, put your thumbs up. If you don't like something, put your thumbs down. Hope you understand why we run the chamber this way for all meetings. So, Professor.
Thank you. My name's Ann Curry Stevens. I'm on faculty with the School of Social Work at Portland State University, and I've been the lead researcher in a partnership with the Coalition of Communities of Color. What I'd like to do is to take this time to amplify the nature of racial disparities facing communities of color in the region. The average figure cited in the ordinance suggests that the disparities are in the range of 15 to 20%. Some of those disparities are significantly worse. The first place I'd like to begin is poverty rates. Poverty rates amongst communities of color are approximately 3 times higher. We are looking at, if you imagine yourselves inviting, say, school children to lunch, and you had an average table of white children, you're looking at less than one of those 10 children being poor. If you do a random sampling of children of color and invite them to your lunch table, we're looking at data where more than 1 in 3 of them will be poor. The magnitude of these disparities is quite unheard of. The disparities we've identified in the report reach across 27 different institutions and systems. 27 where disparities are deep, are pervasive, are mostly getting worse, are worse than national averages, are worse than Seattle, are worse, and that we understand from work done out of the mayor's office, are worse than San Francisco. What we have here is a pervasive, under-attended to problem that has been addressed, being addressed essentially through good intentions. The core message that the coalition, I bring on behalf of the coalition and other coalition members, will speak to is that it is absolutely time to move beyond good intentions. We cannot risk the lives and the futures of our children growing up to very narrowed prospects and very dismal outcomes. A few more of the research findings. Incomes are approximately half, even when we compare full-time, year-round workers, workers of color compared to white workers. Unemployment rates are double. Discipline rates for our children in the school system are 50% worse, half again as worse. Graduation rates, Midge identified that of African-American. On average, one in two students of color doesn't successfully graduate high school today. Prenatal care, lack of prenatal care is almost doubly high. Youth being charged by police, we're looking at triple the rates of children of color compared to white children. Hiring in the city of Portland, when we compare the rates of full-time workers, we're looking at only 16.6% of that level being workers of color. The net economic impact, we've kind of let loose economically and let the market play a stronger role. The benefits of that restructuring have flown to high-income whites. They have completely bypassed upper and middle and high-income people of color. So we have asked people of color to shoulder the burden. We have asked and expected people of color to be quiet, and we have got to end this. There are very high expectations right now from communities of color that our leaders will take real action. And it is time to move beyond good intentions. The Equity Office offers us a real step forwards, a set of commitments, a set of expectations, some accountability structures that are very essential for ensuring that disparity reduction takes center stage. We've gone on for too long with a half-hazard. With a half-hazard response.
You got lots of thumbs up for that one.
Thank you very much.
What I heard was half hazard. Half hazard.
Thank you very much.
Either way, the point was made. Thank you, Professor. And you've been great in working with us and others in building on the report of State of Black Oregon to really one of the reasons. I feel confident of our ability to make changes, the deep analysis that both the State of Black Oregon and your report really has provided us for the first time. So thank you.
Thank you.
Both. Ms. Campbell.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm a commission member on the Charter Commission as well as a member of the Creation Committee for the Equity Office and spokesperson for Connecting Communities Coalition. But tonight I come as a commissioner on the Portland's Commission on Disabilities. We support the ordinance to create the Office of Equity with the assumption that this office will be truly equitable and will respect the needs of all our marginalized communities in Portland. I believe all of you know me. I live with a disability and my whole adult life has been advocating for persons with disabilities. I was very privileged to be able to do this as an employee for the City of Portland for 24 years. Now I work with persons with disabilities who suffer depression and or have been abused. Looking back on my life, I really don't see much change in the inequities that persons with disabilities face today, even with the passing of the ADA and state legal protections. And that is why this equity office is so important, so that we can begin to see some change. Let me give you some statistics regarding disabilities. As you are aware, it is very difficult for us to obtain data on disability because it isn't required in many cases, and also because people with disabilities are reluctant to self-identify because of the stigma attached to having a disability. People with disabilities constitute between 16 and 25% of the adult population, making them the largest protected class. 1 in 5 people have a disability, of which only 5% are visible disabilities. 1 in 4 people who are 20 years old or older have become disabled before they retire. Of disabilities that happen after birth, 90% are through illness, not accident. And 100 million United States workers do not have private disability insurance. And probably in your lifetime, at some time, you will experience a disability. People with disabilities have the highest rate of poverty and underemployed and unemployed of any group. Persons with disabilities work in segregated settings and for sub-minimal wages. Persons with disabilities are twice as likely as anybody else to be earning $15,000 a year or less. As of May 2011, the national unemployment rate for persons with disabilities was 16.9% compared to 9.2% for others. Other data suggests as much greater inequity. The current population survey estimates that the proportion of persons with disabilities who are employed is 17% compared to 63% of people without disabilities. The unemployment rate for persons with disabilities who live outside of institutions is 74% in Oregon. Not surprisingly, therefore, in 2008, over 25% of persons with disabilities lived below the poverty line. Unemployment of individuals with more significant or severe disabilities is much higher. One estimate puts it at nearly 70%. Children with disabilities, particularly children of color, experience the highest rates of school discipline and suspension. According to the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries, approximately 50% of housing discrimination complaints it receives each year are disability-related. Lastly, women with disabilities experience sexual violence at a far higher rate than any other population. Before I leave, I want to thank you so much, especially Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz, for including in the ordinance that disabilities need to be an initial priority for the City and of the Office of Equity, and in the draft plan that the initial priority for the Office of Equity will be to address disparities in employment and service delivery with regard to race, ethnicity, and disability. We know these are issues of equity that we need to be addressed. We also know that having the Office of Equity is the right thing to do to examine these issues, but we also know how hard it is to change attitude, so we also need to have accountability. When we talk about affordable housing, we need to also say affordable, accessible housing. Here in our city, this is very hard and almost impossible to find. I received a call one day from a gentleman who lives in housing that he can afford but cannot get into his bathroom, so he takes sponge baths and leaves his residence to use a nearby public restroom. This is not right. The city needs to become a model employer of persons with disabilities. We need to include persons with disabilities on committee boards and commissions, and not just as the advisory level, but at the policy and design level. And last but not least, the city has to become a welcoming environment for all marginalized communities. As the ordinance says, everyone needs to have access to opportunities necessary to satisfy essential needs, advance their well-being, and achieve their full potential. All communities need the ability to shape their own present future. The Office of Equity can help to begin this journey to make it happen and to become a reality. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bowman?
That's Mrs. Hardesty, sir.
Oh. Can you say that again?
Yes. For the record, my name is Joanne Hardesty, H-A-R-D-E-S-T-Y.
Welcome, Ms. Hardesty.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Joanne Hardesty. I am the president of the board. Dan, you've been out of the loop. Sorry.
I watched the Charter Commission Monday night. I thought you were Joanne Bowman then. So.
Well, they thought I was Bowman, too.
But. Oh, okay. Okay.
I look a lot like her, I know. I am the president of the board for the Coalition for a Livable Future, and I am pleased to be here tonight in support of the Office of Equity. I also serve on the creation committee that was put forward by the mayor and Commissioner Fritz. The Coalition for a Livable Future is a partnership of over 100 diverse organizations and hundreds of individuals to promote healthy and sustainable communities in the Portland region. Our members include several organizations that focus on racial and social justice, including the Urban League of Portland. All of our members are committed to protecting, maintaining, and restoring the social and economic health of our region and assuring the fair distribution of benefits and burdens of government investments. We are proud to stand with our members and partners in support of the Office of Equity. While the Portland region is known for its smart urban planning and exceptional quality of life, not everyone shares in Portland's good life. Numerous studies have demonstrated disparities in the region, including the Coalition for Livable Futures Equity Atlas. The Regional Equity Atlas found that neighborhoods that tend to enjoy the most opportunity are white and higher income, while low-income people and people of color tend to live in neighborhoods with the fewest opportunities. This arrangement plays a decisive role in determining the lifelong health of individuals. The Atlas found that neighborhoods with high percentages of low-income populations and/or people of color tend to have poor access to green space. Similarly, the research found that access to good public transit service and walkable neighborhoods is lower in many of the outlying neighborhoods to which lower-income populations and communities of color have moved over the past decade. I am encouraged by the principles laid out in the ordinance and the work plan, and I am hopeful that the office can help facilitate systemic change within the city of Portland. The office will be able to provide leadership and coordinate equity strategies within city government by looking at city policies, processes, decisions, and resource allocations. I am also encouraged by the success that Seattle has enjoyed in its Race and Social Justice Initiative, a citywide effort under the city's Office for Civil Rights. Through their work, we have seen that a small investment like the one you are considering can have a significant impact. To be successful, we need all of the bureaus to get behind this effort. Whether you support the creation of the office, I trust that we all want all of the city's efforts to be successful and that it will take the support of all of the city to ensure that the Office of Equitable has equitable outcomes for all Portlanders. And in my time that I have left, I just want to address the issue of why do we need this right now? And really, we need this right now because we cannot afford to continue the delay. And just because we live in a community that has progressive leaders doesn't mean that the policies translates to progressive action on the street. And so we need this Office of Equity to ensure that systemically, regardless of who's in office when, there is accountability to the community that actually pays the tax dollars that are invested in other ways in this city. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hardesty. Thank you all. Appreciate it. All right, so we're going to be calling four. We're at 2 minutes. How many people have signed up in total?
We have about 42.
Okay, so 2 minutes each. We find that what can be said in a very compelling way in 3 minutes can actually be said better in two. And that way, if the night goes even longer, then I might even cut it further just to try to get everyone an opportunity who signed up to speak. So appreciate your forbearance. So the next four will be?
Bill Failing, Don Geddes, Ann Nato Campbell, and Sir Linda Summers McGee.
And they'll be followed by?
Cynthia Gomez, Ray Espana, Jessica Lee, and Lee Po Cha.
Yeah, you can come up here. And did I see Representative Fredericks in the chamber? And then if you could come up next, courtesies of the House for elected officials after this panel. Judge. Oh, yes, and Your Honor.
I'm here from my neighborhood
association. Okay. Okay. Welcome.
Good evening. Mayor Adams, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Leonard, how are you? Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fish. My name is Ann Nato Campbell, and I'm testifying today in support of the Office of Equity. I am a native Portlander a Sansei, third-generation Japanese-American, raising my children and now my grandchildren here. This is a very important issue. When I became aware of the report from the Communities of Color and PSU, I volunteered to work on the creation committee of the Office of Equity. As a longtime Portlander, it is important to me that the city addresses the issue of growing disparity and inequity that have come to light. I want to tell you why this is so important to me and why now that we are aware of the problem, we must do something. And shame on all of us if we don't. My grandfather, Hide Naito, immigrated to America from Japan in 1912, almost 100 years ago. He came to Portland after hearing from another Japanese immigrant that this was the land of opportunity. I really want for us to be able to say that again with deep honesty. He opened his first business, Nato Gifts, by the Galleria in 1920, and he lived on Northeast 58th and Gleason. My father, Bill Nato, was born in Portland in 1925 and went off to Mount Tabor grade school, only speaking Japanese. Fast forward, he was a sophomore at Washington High School when the government issued the executive order in 1942, removing all persons of Japanese ancestry from the West Coast. In shame, he cleared out his locker and his family was thrown out of the city. Excuse me. Much of my father's drive to make life better for all Oregonians has come from his experience as a person of color. I believe Dad would be right next to me supporting this initiative. I feel strongly that we all have a duty to make things better for our children and our children's children. In closing, the city needs to put its attention to looking inwardly with an equity lens or focus. The only way you start a new business is by funding it. We need the resources to research and bring best practices from around the country and around the world to Portland. We need to start now to address these very complicated and enormous issues. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Ms. Nader Campbell. Mr. Failing.
Mayor Adams, fellow commissioners, good evening. Bill Failing, born in Portland, live in Portland. Some brief background. For 5 years, I served as executive director of the Oregon Korea Foundation, which basically was raising money to benefit the Korean community in this area. I was very active with building the initial Multnomah County Library Board as it went public. Commissioner Saltzman, you know that. And I'm happy to say that I was very instrumental in getting Japanese-American Bill Nato to chair that board and to later on have Judge Anya Lopez and Mr. Soriano follow him. So we get racial diversity for the first time on that board, really, of any extent. Currently, I am active as vice president of the Oregon Historical Society, and we're very busy providing racial diversity to that body, and I can say with considerable success, and I think that we've been able to show that we can now better mirror the communities that we serve. Please understand that I'm neither ignorant nor passive about racial issues. In fact, I'm shocked to know that Portland lags behind its closest city neighbors of San Francisco and Seattle with its diversity among city employees. Knowing each of you a little bit, I gave you credit for being sensitive to these issues. The political soundbites that bombard us are more than just rhetoric. Rich versus poor is not only real here, this disparity is growing here. It is racialized, meaning that benefits seen by white families are not shared by families of color. That's right here in our own community. Considering Asian communities, we know they do quite well in national studies showing how they outperform whites on measures such as education, income, occupations, and housing. Unfortunately, we cannot say that here. Recognizing these disparities here in our own backyard, I would urge the City Council to allow expansion of funding for culturally specific services while supporting the Office of Equity initiatives already in existence. This will better enable the city's poverty reduction strategies and give louder voice to such organizations such as the Coalition of Communities of Color. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Failing. Hi, welcome.
Mayor Adams, Commissioners, I'm Don Geddes with Walsh Construction. I'm a principal there, been there about 32 years now. Just a very quick note, we found about 20 years ago as we looked around that 99% of our employees were white, male, Anglo-Saxon, basically. And we questioned our beliefs a little bit and said, you know, are we racist? Are we biased? What's the issue here? And the issue was we didn't have to go out and look for people. We had a very good reputation. People came knocking on our door. The interesting thing was people who came were friends of friends. Most of our friends were white Anglo-Saxon males. So that's who came in. Until we decided to go out and intentionally change that, it would have stayed the same. Over the last 20 years, we've joined groups like Awami, NAMCO, worked with Portland Youth Builders, Women in the Trades to try and diversify, and that is happening. But it doesn't happen unless you intentionally do something about it. As I've watched my kids grow, they participated in rowing down on the Willamette River. And I can't think of a better example as we look at things in this world. Rowing is one sport that you have eight people and a coxswain in a boat, and that boat is only as good as its least experienced rower. And we are no different here. If we want to live in a society that succeeds, we all have to succeed together. And I think one of the previous panels said it well, that we're not in different boats. We're all in the same boat. And as the gaps get bigger in this world, if we don't row as one, we will only be as good as our least efficient rower. And for that reason alone, I would say we need to move forward with this.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, welcome. Glad you're here.
Mayor Adams, members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to appear here tonight. I'm in support of the creation of the Office of Equity. My name is Cyrilda Summers McGee, and I'm the Executive Director of Partners in Diversity, which is an affiliate of the Chamber of Commerce, or Portland Business Alliance. Partners in Diversity works with companies to help them recruit, support, and retain professionals of color in Oregon and Southwest Washington. And we believe that in today's global marketplace, companies need to have a competitive edge. And one of the best ways to create that edge is through having a diverse workforce. At the same time, the demographics of Portland are shifting, and our economic futures depend on nurturing the skills, knowledge, and innovation that that changing workforce creates. We believe Portland should aspire to the level of social and economic equity and success that is the envy of the country. Just as we have aspired to, and in many cases achieved, strategies for innovative land use, transportation, community engagement that the rest of the country admires. But we were not successful in those initiatives by chance. Our success came only after we put real people and real resources behind them so that they receive the day-to-day attention and ambitious initiative that an ambitious initiative requires. We should do no less as we focus our attention on the issues of equity. Changing demographics presents us with a challenge as well as an opportunity. If current trends continue, the population of Hispanics and Latinos will increase from about 1 in 7 today to about 1 in 3 in 2050. Over the same time span, the percentage of our population over the age of 65 will grow from 13% to over 20%. There are more than 22 million working individuals. There are more than 22 million working age individuals in the U.S. with one or more disabilities. Historically, these and other minority populations have been underrepresented in the community leadership positions as well as jobs that provide family wage incomes. To address these historic inequities and to ensure collective future economic success, we need to have a strategy that embraces this diversity and harnesses its economic potential. While it doesn't answer every question, establishing an Office of Equity can give us a central point of focus as we look for strategies to address current issues and harness the changing composition of our community and workforce. We have shown that with a focused effort, we can be successful in shaping the future of Portland, and the Office of Equity can help us in shaping our future even better than what we have so far.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for your testimony. The next four
are Cynthia Gomez, Ray Espana, Jessica Lee.
Oh, I apologize. I'm giving courtesies to elected officials. So Representative Fredericks and Judge, sorry, you have to come up. Sorry. This will encourage you all to run for office so that you can...
Maybe not after what we say.
Skip ahead in the line of testimony. Hi, Representative Fredericks. Glad
Thank
you're here.
Thank you very much. I'm Lou Frederick, Representative of District 43, North and Northeast Portland. Good to see you all. I'm not going to bring any statistics to you. You've got quite a few. Those are already clearly compelling. I'm going to bring a different perspective. And I've got to give a disclosure. I helped write the proposal for the Human Rights Commission, the Office of Human Relations, after some significant research and discussions in 2007-2008. The proposal for the Office of Equity could be seen as a continuation or an outgrowth of that HRC or OCR, a leap of faith indicating that the city is ready for the next step towards greater justice in our increasingly diverse city. Now, because of my wonkiness, I'm frankly a little bit apprehensive, and I want us to give an idea of why an enforcement component was not included in the HRC proposal. I want to be a little brief about that. In looking at other cities and other human relations commissions around the world, we saw a range of capacities. Some were simply advisory groups, meeting only when a crisis developed to help the community and its leaders navigate the situation. Others were at the other end of the spectrum, with a team of investigators in the field tracking the political progress of equity and diversity, as well as helping those who are victims of discrimination find justice in the judicial system. The level of direct activism was the key. In Portland, that range pretty well described the history of the HRC under its various names since 1948. We had very well-intentioned but toothless advisory councils, as well as contentious, angry clashes within the commission and against elected officials. The HRC was dissolved around the turn of this century because of those fights. The question was, how do we thread this needle so that the basic human rights issues that have an official home and a way to get the attention of the city council? How can it be both effective and lasting? And that is my main concern. Placing these issues in the hands of a director is one way to provide accountability, but it also sets up a number of potential problems, perhaps not overwhelming problems, still areas that need to be addressed. Who will the director report to? How will that avoid the conflicts associated with political power, political conflict, and political personalities? How much will this cost? Who decides what to concentrate on? How will priorities be determined? Because the universe of issues is extremely large. What we do not want to happen is a short-term attention to these issues that then blows up again in 4 years and has to be recreated. One of the primary concerns of everyone I spoke to, and I'm talking about research that was international, national, regional, statewide, and local, is the issue of stability and continuity, the issue of whether people will know where to go for help and whether that remedy will continue or be eliminated in the next budget crunch or because a director clashed with a council member or another agency director. And those are just some questions. Again, I come here without any answers necessarily, and I clearly support the concept here. It's very important to me that it be done well, not just done. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate it. Judge.
Evening. I'm Edward Jones, and I'm here to talk about one small piece of this equity process, which is the creation of the next generation of leadership of this city. And it will be an easy test to assay, because 10 years from now, I'll come here, and will it be five white, temporarily abled people that I'm speaking to? Or will it be something different? And that's something that this equity office has a chance to have an impact on. Because Portland, more than most cities, has committed itself to community participation in the decision-making. As the land use chair for the Linton Neighborhood Association, I'm an example of that commitment. But our neighborhood, in spite of having a cadre of articulate, resourceful, and committed participants in the process, still struggles to make sure our voice is heard. And what's hard for us is near impossible for many others in our city. City participation by citizens in city activities is just another phrase for endless meetings. I go to many of them. You go to more of them. But when we go to those meetings, do we see a cross-section of our community? No, we don't. We see many, or don't see, many underrepresented groups. And to be blunt, the city has failed.